It's 11th of June 2023, and this sermon I've entitled The Evidence. The Evidence. I'm going to start with the reading from 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and he says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder, and now someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." Sounds pretty desperate, doesn't it? He will be saved. He will have suffered loss. But ultimately, he'll be okay. Have you ever wondered how much of your life will be considered valuable to God? How many hours in the day have we wasted? When you look back on your life, the many years of study or school or watching telly or listening to the radio or cutting the grass or just working for a living, how much of that, in retrospect, do you think would be valuable to God? How many hours have we spent loving our pets, our animals, and not loving people? Instead of loving people, how much time have we spent doing things that amount to nothing of value in God's sight? On Friday, the Friday just gone, the wind was gentle and from the east. It wasn't raining. And this means, usually, that I can burn things in the field and the smoke doesn't drift onto my neighbours' gardens and houses. It's ideal. On this particular Friday, we had managed to collect almost, and this is not a lie, almost two wheelbarrows full of letters, invoices, statements, old tenancy agreements, going back to around 2010. It's about 12, 13 years worth of paperwork in two wheelbarrows. And it's heavy paper. And because there was so much personal information on many of those documents, we decided that it was too much to shred, and because it was potentially too sensitive to put into the purple recycling wheelie bin, we were running out of options what to do with it. So because the conditions were ideal, and I didn't have anything else to do, no one was at work, I wheeled it down to the end of the garden and began to burn it in a waist-high bed of nettles in the field, where I have previously burnt my garden rubbish. Now, everything was fine. The massive mound of paper, you can imagine how big it was, began to burn readily. And what smoke that came off, and there wasn't a lot of smoke actually, gently wafted the full length of the field before dissipating. I got nettled a little bit, but that was okay. Toffee sat on the sidelines and watched from the garden. Have you ever done this yourself? Have you ever tried this? What I thought would take maybe half an hour, or maybe an hour, took around 3+ hours to do. And this is why. The material laying in contact with the earth was insulated by all the paper that had laid on top of it. And whereas the surface paper all burnt pretty quickly because it was exposed to the air, and I could see it all go up in flames, it looked like I'd done the job, but the stuff deeper down in the pile remained as it was, untouched by the flames and the heat. So I used a garden rake to drag unburnt documents to the surface, and eventually more and more paper burnt, and I got hotter and hotter in the process. The process, you would think, would be unremarkable, but not so in my case. As I raked stuff up to the surface, names and places, agreements, properties, letters, signatures of various types and flavours came into sight before they started to burn. And I tried quickly to read them before they disappeared. Just a case of, are you sure you want to burn that? Are you sure? Occasionally I panicked because I thought, well, I don't remember putting that in here. Maybe Nola put that in there and it's got something to do with her and not to do with me. So I thought, well, we've decided now anyway. And sometimes, because I couldn't think or remember fast enough, like, who's that person? I can barely remember who that person was in 2010. And then I thought, oh, yeah, oh, I remember now. And was that something that I will regret burning? Was that my last will and testament? Was that my school certificates? Was that my baptism certificate? Was that my birth certificate? Memories of people I had dealt with in the past who had dealt with me, did I still have issues with them? Did I need those documents? Did any of them have issues with me? Was I getting rid of evidence that could have been to my advantage? Or was I destroying evidence as a mistake? My mind went over the few years that were covered by this paperwork, and I wondered how much of my life has been written down somewhere else, unbeknown to me, because most of the important stuff that I was burning, I personally had backed up by scanning it onto my computer. So even if the paper version was burned, the evidence, if that's what it was still around somewhere. And although I can't be 100% sure I hadn't destroyed anything valuable, there were times when I nearly grabbed a letter from the flames to read it. So as these things went up in smoke, I remembered how God deals with our sins. If we allow Him to, that is. It's important at this stage to remember that the Bible says that God is love. Remember that. God is love. From 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So do you know God? 1 John 4:15 to 17. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. The day of judgment. That was in the first reading. The day will bring it to light. That is the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. Now, the process of burning all that evidence reminded me of God dealing with my sins. I made the decision a long time ago to trust God and to try and follow Jesus. It's just that whereas burning the paper was a bit like confessing and forsaking your sins, the actual process of doing it was not as straightforward as I first thought it would be. I was reminded of the disciples at this stage asking Jesus how they should pray. And this is from Matthew 6, 6 to 15 on the reply and the answer to that question. Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? We all, people living in this world, have people that we need to forgive. People that have done things to us in the past, people who have not loved us, they've hated us perhaps, people who have abused us, people who have told tales about us, people who have maybe physically hurt us. So how good are we at forgiving other people's sins when they sin against us? As I was diligently raking through these ashes, time and time again, getting deeper and deeper and still finding stuff that needed to be exposed to the flames, I came to a point where I nearly gave up. I thought, well, just leave it there, you know, come back another day and do it. And I thought to myself, this is just taking forever. I couldn't believe how long it was taking. I'm going to have to leave this and come back another day. I was hot and bothered and was no longer enjoying any part of this process. And then I had a bit of a revelation. I realized that the hardest part of what I was actually doing wasn't burning every last bit of evidence, so to speak. The hardest part was actually making the decision to burn it in the first place. That it was no longer of any use, this stuff. And in effect, it was weighing me down. It was cluttering my mind. The best decision I made was to agree to burn it in the first place. Even if it was difficult, and if there would be more burning to do another day, at least the decision had been made. And there's the similarity, and that's why this message will make sense. Once you've decided that you're a sinner on the way to hell and eternal separation from God, there's one decision that you need to make. And that decision is to trust Jesus to do everything that you can't do. Everything that you can't do, that will give you a new hope and a future. It was like, even if you fail to confess all your sins, if you fail to repent of every minor detail, God will do the rest for you if we're sincere. Do you remember this from the earlier passage? 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day of judgment, the day of his appearing, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, as one escaping through the flames. This foundation is Jesus. He is the cornerstone. He is the keystone, the very thing that holds everything together. The only thing of infinite value in your life. If that evidence is not present in your life history, if God's records written in the Lamb's Book of Life does not include you, if you are not written in that book, then I'm sorry, but you have no hope. You won't be the one escaping from the flames. And yet, if God does see evidence that you did accept Jesus, even if it's not written down somewhere, even if you haven't got a baptism certificate, if you have nothing on paper that says you're his, he has a record. You're still his. Even if you've messed up in certain areas of your life, you remain in his love. Don't reject him. He cannot reject you, because he is the true nature of love. What do I mean by that? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, 3-8 makes it very clear what that means. Paul, again, to the Corinthian church, saying that if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. But did you notice that? It keeps no record of wrongs. If God is love, then he keeps no record of wrongs. Isn't that the case? It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to believe that God doesn't remember all the things that we have done that were wrong. All the times we sinned, all the times we messed it up. Isn't it difficult to believe that God doesn't remember those things? He doesn't keep a record. It's like, as I was burning all that rubbish, and hopefully that's all it was, in the back of my mind was the security that if there was anything that I needed to look at in the future, I probably would have scanned it into my computer anyway. But it seems that God doesn't do that for those who he loves. If he loves you, he doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And he loves all his sons and daughters. Now, this is the crunch. Are you one of his sons or daughters? Those who came to him through Jesus became his sons and daughters. Now that in itself doesn't give us a license to sin and do wrong. But if we do occasionally miss the mark, and we do occasionally, too occasionally actually, miss the mark, then thankfully he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess it and repent and forgive those who sin against us. Now, although God doesn't keep a record of wrongs for those he loves, he does keep some records. He does keep some records. Those records where people responded to his Holy Spirit during their lifetime. Those occasions when individuals submitted to him, believe the message of salvation through Jesus. Those individuals who were born to him, born again, born of God, that's how you get your name in the book of life. And believe me, you need to leave it in there. Leave your name as a record in that book. And if it isn't there, get it in there. Get it in there if it isn't there. Let's go to the end of the book. Revelation 20, 12 to 15. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So God keeps records, but he doesn't keep a record of wrongs against those he loves. That's what it says. So if your name is in the Lamb's book of life, the book of life, that is the evidence that counts for you. Everybody sat here is subject to that evidence. And whatever else you burn in your field or whatever you, wherever you burn it, you can't burn that evidence. It isn't in the form of a baptismal certificate or a christening certificate or a confirmation certificate or whatever else it is. They're all bits of paper, they are, which will burn up eventually one day anyway. But this book of life, God knows who's in it. So that evidence, no matter how many mistakes you make, how many times you fall down, how many times you want to give up, you want to run away, you want to fall asleep, you want to stop coming to church, you want to stop praying, because it's hard work, isn't it, sometimes? You want to stop meeting together in fellowship. If that evidence is there in you, in your heart, then it's all going to turn out well in the end. However, I'm not banging on the pew Bible here, but it might seem like it. If you're heading for the lake of fire today, it's because of this. And it happened all through the Old Testament when God told the Israelites to go into certain areas and to kill and destroy everything and burn things. Don't let anything live. Really difficult to understand that, isn't it? But the reason that happened is for this reason. It's because God has made the decision that there is nothing worth saving. So what is saved by God in us is that thing which is worth saving, and that is our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If it isn't there, there's nothing worth saving. Final scripture for today is Mark 16:16. Which makes it very clear, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe, whether you've been baptized or not, I interpret that to mean, will be condemned. If you believe, you will want to be baptized. But baptism in itself, if you do not believe, is worthless. Because it was done to you, or you agreed to have it done for some other reason than you believe. So the evidence then, examine the evidence for yourself. If you haven't made that decision yet, examine the evidence. God has lots of evidence about Jesus, and much of it is written in his word, the Bible. Don't leave it too long. because nobody knows how long we have. Father, I pray that you can bless this message, Lord. You can bless the truth that lies within it, Lord. And you will send it out to achieve the purpose for which you wrote this scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.